From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the Book of Acts, he commences a message entitled, Fulfilling the Task. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Strong in faith. Christian, take good care of thy faith. For recollect, faith is the only way whereby thou canst obtain blessings. If we want blessings from God, nothing can fetch them down but faith. Prayer cannot draw down answers from God's throne, except it be the earnest prayer of the man who believes. Faith is the angelic messenger between the soul and the Lord Jesus in glory. Let that angel be withdrawn, we can neither send up prayer nor receive the answers. Faith is the telegraphic wire which links earth and heaven, on which God's messages of love fly so fast that before we call, he answers, and while we are yet speaking, he hears us. But if that telegraphic wire of faith be snapped, how can we receive the promise? Am I in trouble? I can obtain help for trouble by faith. Am I beaten about by the enemy? My soul on her dear refuge leans by faith. But take faith away. In vain I call to God. There is no road betwixt my soul and heaven. In the deepest winter time, faith is a road on which the horses of prayer may travel, aye, and all the better for the biting frost. But blockade the road, and how can we communicate with the great King? Faith links me with divinity. Faith clothes me with the power of God. Faith engages on my side the omnipotence of Jehovah. Faith ensures every attribute of God in my defense. It helps me to defy the hosts of hell. It makes me march triumphant over the necks of my enemies. But without faith, how can I receive anything of the Lord? Let not him that wavereth, who is like a wave of the sea, expect that he will receive anything of God. O then, Christian, watch well thy faith, for with it thou canst win all things, however poor thou art. But without it, thou canst obtain nothing. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
My sin is great, my strength is weak, my path is set to sense, but thou, O Christ, hast died for me.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns focuses on verses 1 through 26 of chapter 14. This is the record of Paul and Barnabas carrying out the missionary task assigned to them by the church in Antioch. As Dr. Cairns will show, their journey took them to a number of cities in Asia Minor, in each of which they encountered particular problems. In Iconium, there was great division, caused by unbelieving Jews who were angered by Gentiles receiving the gospel. In Lystra, there was great danger, as those hostile to the gospel stoned Paul nearly to death. After preaching in Derbe, the apostles showed great dedication as they returned to the scenes of their rejection to confirm the new converts. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message called Fulfilling the Task.
Now we're turning this morning to the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14, and we're going to read together just the first few verses, although we do hope and I'm sure this will cause a smile or two, but we do hope to get right through the chapter, although we're only going to read a few verses. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. If we may just highlight one or two of the verses that follow. Verse 8, there sat a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The story then proceeds as to how the cripple in Lystra was healed. A little later, in verse 12, they sought to worship Paul and Barnabas. They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And with much difficulty, the apostles stopped that deification. Then a little later, we read verse 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And then I think one of the most outstanding verses which show you the character of these early men of God, you will find verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch, the very places where they had been so bitterly persecuted. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts, and we trust this morning that we will be able to cover this chapter. As I promised, we are going to try sometimes to get a little speed on in our studies through the book of Acts. The 14th chapter of Acts I title Fulfilling the Task, because here we find that the apostles, verse 26, did fulfill the work to which they had been recommended by the grace of God. In other words, the 14th chapter is one of those great missionary chapters of the New Testament, so easily read, and yet in that easy manner of reading, we can overlook the tremendous sacrifices involved, the pains suffered, the hardships endured, and the triumphs experienced as the Lord in grace blessed the preaching of his word. I think if you read the book of Acts aright, and I trust that in our studies the Lord will communicate something of this to us, for it's very easy just to go through a book and have it become dead and dry as dust. But if we read the book of Acts aright, we will find it to be one of the most thrilling books in the Bible. You'll find it a book that's dealing with ordinary men, set on fire with the love of Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, men who blaze a trail for God that makes every subsequent missionary movement in the history of the church peel into insignificance. Now that's a very big statement when you consider some of the tremendous missionary movements of the last 200 or 300 years. When you think of the labors of mighty men of God, it's saying something to say that the book of Acts details for us a missionary endeavor which makes every subsequent missionary endeavor seem little in comparison. And this 14th chapter gives us the tremendous thrust as Paul and Barnabas reach the climax of their first missionary journey. Now there are some places mentioned, and we're going to deal with them as follows. First of all, we want to look at Iconium. And at Iconium, there was a great division. You remember I gave you these headings as we looked at the outline of the first missionary journey, which would help to keep in mind what Paul and Barnabas were doing. So in Iconium, verses 1 through to 5, there is a great division. Then we have Lystra. And in Lystra, we find that there was a great danger. In fact, there was the twofold danger facing the apostles that we look at in a moment or two. Following that danger at Lystra, verse 20 gives us one of those great deliverances that the apostles had. Paul left for dead. Now, there are some people who even think that he was dead. Now, not just seeming to be. Some commentators think that he was dead. Well, be that as it may, let me just say that in those days when they stoned a person, they didn't normally leave him for dead if he wasn't dead. They did a thoroughly good job on most occasions. And certainly if Paul wasn't dead, he was not more than a heartbeat or so away from it. But the Lord delivered him, delivered the church, and raised him up. And then, following Lystra, there was Derbe. And as I said before, I will sometime or other call that Derbe, because the English city, D-E-R-B-Y, is in English pronounced Derbe, same as C-L-E-R-K is pronounced Clark. So you'll just have to put up with my Anglified pronunciation. But Derbe, Lystra, back to there, back to Iconium, and then through various other places to Antioch, from which they started. Now, this then speaks of the great dedication which these two apostles manifested. And we want to look then at the division, the danger, their deliverance, and their dedication. Let's look first at these first five verses set in Iconium, where there was a great division. I want you to notice what it says in the first verse. It says this, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. Now notice it carefully. And so spake that a great multitude believed. Now here's the power of the apostles' preaching. And you know, when you really get down to these missionary labors of the apostles, this is the secret of everything else. They had power with God. They so spake that multitudes believed. There was something in their preaching. There was something in their testifying that gave weight to their words, that gave authority to their utterances, that swayed the people to listen to them, and that brought multitudes in repentance and faith to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will notice that this is a power that can reach the religious Jew and that can reach the pagan Gentile. It's the power of God that can reach man, whatever their condition, whatever their background, can instantaneously transform them and can bring them on bended knee to the foot of the cross. Now you will notice in Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey, and you'll notice this in all Paul's subsequent missionary labors, that it was the power of preaching that brought about the results. Paul was preeminently a preacher. You will notice a little later in this chapter, when they took him to be one of the gods, they called him Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. He was the man who was the preacher of the word. Their missionary labors were not marked by programs. Their missionary labors were not marked by committee decisions. Their missionary labors were not fostered and furthered by various fancy schemes. Their missionary labors went ahead in the power of the Holy Ghost upon the preaching of the word. This indeed is not only the mark of Paul and Barnabas in their missionary activity, it is the mark of the early church. The greatest evil that the devil has been able to perpetrate upon the church of Christ today is to foist upon it in its pulpits a race of men who, whatever their gifts and abilities, are something other than preachers. It's a sad day for the church of Jesus Christ when preaching is the lost art of the church. It's a sad day when preachers are outstanding because they're so few. It's a sad day when most men behind the sacred desk, even if they have learning, even if they have many commendable features to their character, are not men who preach. My friend, until as the early church, we get back to the place where every man is a preacher first and foremost, and everything else takes a second place to that. Until we get back to that, then we will not have the blessing of God as the early church did. You will find in revival, God always uses preachers every time. Nobody else. Because he has ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. May God indeed give us this power of apostolic preaching in our day. And then you will notice verse 2 highlights the enemies of the apostles' efforts, but the unbelieving Jews. Here's a note of the hardness of men's hearts. And it's a notice also of the sovereignty of God in salvation. Because although there was this mighty sweep of revival power and saving grace, although there was such overwhelming force in the apostles' preaching, yet there were unbelieving Jews. Their hearts were so hard and wicked and carnal. As the apostle John put it concerning the Jews who listened to the Lord Jesus Christ, they could not believe. Why, that's a tremendous statement. They could not believe. Couldn't. Why? Because they were sinners. Because they were depraved. Because it takes a miracle of grace to give faith to a dead sinner. It takes a miracle of grace to bring a man to his knees. And here were these ungodly men just showing the natural wickedness of the heart. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Notice Satan's tactics. They're always the same. First of all, he has passion. He stirs up the passions of the people. If you can get man's passion stirred up, that is a passion that has no connection to knowledge, then of course you'll find you're always doing the devil's work. There ought to be passion in connection with knowledge. Passion in connection with knowledge, in connection with scriptural wisdom, is a good thing. But passion, apart from knowledge, is an evil thing. And then you will notice prejudice. They caused their minds to be evil affected. They poisoned their minds. And the devil has never progressed beyond those tactics. He's still doing the very same thing today. And that's how he sought to frustrate the labors of the apostles. Now, verse 3. Is one of those verses you can easily miss the force of. Verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, caused their minds to be evil affected. In other words, poisoned the minds of the people against them. Time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. In other words, because of the opposition, because of the enmity, they stayed on. They stood their ground. They really got to work on a more intensive basis than ever before. You see, when these men got on fire for God, unless the Lord told them it was time to move on, the devil wasn't going to shift them one way or the other.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.